Dan is right here beside me. Daniel, been very interesting thus far.
It has been, Brad. And in the Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is the mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin. Mr. Mayor, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you.
Good morning. Good to have you back again. You know, one of the things that you have done, and I'll tell you, it takes a lot of guts to do it, is to go around to the various towns, tell them, you know, what the problems are, what you need. And the folks that I've talked to and that have talked to us here on the radio are saying, you know, we've got our own problems in these towns. How can we help Hartford? And, of course, everybody is talking. I wonder if there's going to be a bankruptcy for the city of Hartford and what that would do to us nationally. What is your thoughts right now with everybody that you've talked to and everybody that you've visited, Mr. Mayor?
Well, you know, it's tough times in Connecticut, and I think everybody understands that there are really tough choices to be made up here by the legislators here at the state capitol. But I also think, as I've gone around, there are a lot of people who understand that we're all in the same boat. And, you know, Hartford may be at the leaky end of the boat, which means we got a little more water in our shoes, but ultimately we're all in the same boat, and we sink, or float together. And I think it's really important that we all understand how tied together economically we are. You know, Hartford is the job center. It's the job engine for this part of the state. It's this job center for a region of a million plus people. And you can't have a strong region if you don't have a strong and vibrant city. So that's the most important thing that I think we've got to focus on as a city and as a region and as a state. And I do think there are a lot of people who get it.
Mayor, one of the things I hear from people when you're going around talking about regionalism is that there hasn't been a defined regionalism plan put forth by you. Is there a defined plan?
Yeah, because let me be clear. I want to make a distinction between two things. I haven't been going around and saying regionalism is the answer to the financial crisis that Hartford has. It's not the immediate answer. Regionalism is something we should do just to be smarter and more efficient as a state overall. You know, when you got a state of 3.5 million people and you carve it into 169 separate towns and every one of those towns does the same service over and over again, it doesn't make sense. It's not the way most states in the country do it, and it's certainly not the way the states that are beating us economically do it. So I think that's something that we should be talking about as a state to make ourselves more competitive. But there's a separate issue which is different from that, and that's that Hartford faces an immediate fiscal crisis, and it's one that is so big that even though we've cut tens of millions of dollars out of the city budget, and we're going to continue to do anything we can to get our house in order, it can't be solved at the local level alone. When you've got deficits that are $50 or $70 million, they cannot be closed at the local level, especially when you've got a tax rate that's already two or three times what neighboring communities are. And so that's the basic discussion. Look, believe me, I'm frustrated as anyone, and maybe more frustrated, by some of the mistakes that have been made in the past. And, you know, we've got to acknowledge them. You know, the city borrowed too much. The city agreed to contracts years ago, decades ago, that are too expensive. But in addition to that, we've got a structure that's just broken. You cannot run a city when you got less taxable property in that city than you do in suburbs. You know, when more than half the property in the city is non-taxable. It just doesn't work. The numbers just don't work. So my basic pitch is this. We are going to do everything we can in the city to make sure that we're on a sustainable path. We're not going to be afraid of even the most difficult, painful cuts. We're not going to be afraid of touching third rails. And I'm not afraid of being a one-term mayor. But we have to do those difficult things. But no matter how many of those difficult things we do, that's not going to be enough to get this city healthy. And if we don't get it healthy, we're all going to pay for that all over the region and all over the state. And that's why ultimately the decision about, I think, Connecticut's economic future really rests in this building. We're at the state capitol right now. It really rests in this building because we need to make sure that we've got a partner at the state level that understands that in America today, you cannot compete economically if you don't have strong cities.
We'll pick up on that. But one of the things that I have heard when it comes to the tax base, and you're right as far as what's not out there, which is taxable, but when it comes to home property in Hartford, the value is assessed on 32% rather than 70% in most communities.
That's absolutely right. So residential property is, the tax rates on residential property are about in line with where they are in the rest of the region. They are right about in line with many of the neighbors.
Because of a higher mill rate?
Exactly, because our mill rate is two or three times what most communities are. So you end up apples to apples. Our residents are paying about the same taxes as many of the neighbors. Now, it's also important to keep in mind that median income in the city of Hartford is $29,000. And you know, there's not a lot of room, unless you want to drive out every last resident in Hartford, there's not a lot of room to do much more there. But the biggest issue is that our employers, our businesses, are paying two or three times what they would pay if they moved down the road. And you can't compete, you can't grow, you can't attract investment, either from small businesses or from your biggest companies, when you've got that kind of a tax burden. And so a part of this discussion has got to be about how do we put this city in the position to compete economically for the long run. Because, again, if we can get this city growing again, that's going to mean jobs for Connecticut residents, no matter where they live, whether in Hartford or outside of Hartford. And I'll tell you, as I do these tours around the suburbs, you know, at every one, there's a huge percentage of that community who actually works in Hartford. And that just highlights how tied we are together.
Well, again, we've got the mayor with us from Hartford, and this is something that we've wanted to do for a long time, and we're right here at the Capitol, and we'll be here until 10 o'clock. But I just want to remind all of you again that we will be carrying the mayor's address at 12 noon.
The governor's address.
The governor's. The governor's address.
The mayor just jumped out of
here. I'm going to be listening. I'm just going to be listening.
He's your buddy, so he'll laugh at that one. The governor's address, of course, at 12 noon. Well, Dan, we've got the mayor of Hartford with us, and there's no question about it what he inherited when he became the mayor. And I just hope, and I know you feel the same way, that we don't have to file bankruptcy. And I'm sure you think about that all the time, Mr. Mayor. What is the situation in your estimation right now?
Sure, I do. You know, as we were just talking about, the fiscal crisis we face is so big that you cannot solve it at the local level alone. You can't tax your way out of it, and you can't cut your way out of it if you want to have a city that can survive at the other end of it. And so that's why the push is really for us to come together as a state and develop a formula that actually allows the city to compete. You know, the city's fighting with one hand tied behind its back when more than half the property in the city is non-taxable. You know, when it's state property, hospitals, universities, the MDC, trash-burning power plants, all of which serve the region and serve the state, but they don't pay taxes to the city of Hartford. And so we've got to develop a system that recognizes that the hand's tied behind the back, and if we want a city to compete, we got to loosen those ropes. Now, ultimately, we're going to do everything we can at the local level, and we're going to seek a partnership up here at the state. But we are not in a position to rule any options out, because we got to make sure that we've got a city that can deliver basic city services to its residents at the end of the day.
Okay. Right now, this current fiscal year, does the city have enough for the remainder of this fiscal year to meet its obligations?
We still have face a deficit, and we face a deficit that's bigger than our fund balance. We've been driving down costs everywhere we can, but we're still trying to get labor savings. You know, we're still negotiating in tough negotiations with a lot of our labor unions. We've got a phenomenal deal with our Firefighters Association. I give them a huge amount of respect for stepping up and recognizing that they ought to be part of the solution, and I give a huge amount of credit for doing that and being the first to do it. Obviously, I have a huge amount of respect for what they do every day to keep the city and the residents safe. I hope that we can achieve similar deals with our other labor unions.
I mean, that's pretty dire. Four and a half months left in the fiscal year.
As you know, I've been saying this for months. When I was up here at the legislature last year and ringing the alarm bell, you know, I made clear that this is an immediate crisis that cannot be ignored. And we cut tens of millions of dollars out of city budget this year. But at a certain point, you cut so deep and you can't deliver basic services. You're not a city anymore. At a certain point, if you raise taxes, you just say the last person out, turn off the lights. It just doesn't work. So we are going to continue to do everything we can to drive down costs. At the end of this year, we will likely have to borrow some money to close the gap at the end of this year. And we've also put some of our pension contributions into a separate account in the event that we're not able to close it by borrowing. So back to the bankruptcy question, you know, we're not in a position to rule that out. But as I said, in all these towns around the state, that would be, in my view, a big mistake for the state of Connecticut. It would put us as the first state in the country to let our capital city go bankrupt. One of only a few cities in the country to actually go bankrupt. And if we think the impact of GE going to Boston was bad for our reputation, bad for our economic development efforts, you know, as capital city in bankruptcy is going to keep this state on the front page of every paper in the country for the next 2 years as we go through a long, ugly, costly, and uncertain bankruptcy process. But again, at the end of the day, unless folks in this building decide that, this building being the state capitol, the legislature, decide that it's in all of our benefit to have a strong, healthy, competitive capital city that can be the engine of growth for this region and for the state, then we're not in a position to rule any option out, no matter how bad it is.
Is there anything specific, or any things specific you would like to see come out of this legislature?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things is full funding of payments in lieu of taxes. As we just talked about, half the city's property is non-taxable. And a lot of that are things that serve the whole state or serve the region. State property. Obviously, we've got a huge concentration of state property. We're sitting here in the state capitol. Hospitals. We've got the hospitals that serve the region. When you get sick, you come into Hartford. And they're phenomenal hospitals. But they don't pay taxes. You look down at the South Meadows, which is, you know, some pretty strategic land, 1,000 acres of strategically located land that in most places would be, you know, a big industrial center. What do we have there? We've got a trash-burning power plant that serves 70 cities and towns around the state of Connecticut and pays no taxes to the city of Hartford. You've got an airport that takes up a couple hundred acres, and I know it's great for the, you know, 100 or so people that own a private airplane there, but it doesn't do much for the city of Hartford. And you've got the MDC that treats the region's sewage in Hartford and doesn't pay taxes.
Then why doesn't the powers that be, Mr. Mayor, understand this and do something about it?
The truth is, I think people do understand it more and more. I think people more and more recognize that we've got a system that's not just not built to succeed. And the challenge, look, we've got to be honest about all this. The challenge is that the state right now is facing $1.5 billion or $1.7 billion deficit. If the state wasn't facing that problem, I think it would be obvious to everybody that it's in the state's interest to make sure that you got a strong capital city that can be an engine of economic growth for the region. Right now, I think most people do understand that, but they're faced with a bunch of bad choices, because when the state's in that deep a deficit, there are no good choices. But ultimately, I think we need to think of this as an issue of growth and competitiveness, because if you look around our country, the places that are beating us for jobs, the places that are growing faster than us, where kids and grandkids who were, you know, raised in Connecticut are moving to, they're places where economic growth is coming from cities. And we've got to put ourselves in a position to compete.
Now, talking about all the financial problems Hartford has, the state has, people are wondering, how do you rationalize support for retrofitting the Excel Center?
Well, first of all, you know, that would be a state investment, a state capital investment. And I think the way you've got to think about it is, what's the alternative? You've got this enormous facility that takes up, you know, 6 square blocks or more of your downtown, your capital city, which is, you know, critically important to all of the restaurants and businesses that are around that downtown, and which used to be, more so than it is today, a real beating heart of that, of the city. Right now, that venue is totally uncompetitive because it's so old, it's so obsolete, it's just in bad shape. So you only got really two choices. You either put it in a place where it can compete again and help drive economic growth, or you're going to be stuck with an increasingly ugly, obsolete, and failing
$3 million
facility.
It's losing.
That's right. Well, that's the other piece, is that right now it's costing the state money just to run the thing. So sometimes you got to invest money to be able to make money over the long
run. But do we have the money to invest?
That's ultimately going to be a decision for the state and for the state legislature to make. But I think if you don't do that, you're going to end up with an probably equally, if not more costly, proposition on your hands, which is, what do you do with this blighted, you know, big, uncompetitive facility that's costing the state money every year when it could be an economic driver?
Do you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat worrying about
good
Aetna?
Good question, Dan.
Worrying about Aetna?
I wake up in the middle of the night because my three-year-old comes down and jumps on top of me. Aetna is obviously one of the most important companies, not just in Hartford, but in the state of Connecticut. I have spent a lot of time building that relationship. I think have a strong relationship with Aetna, stay in regular contact with their leadership. As mayor of the city of Hartford, I got to stay focused on the things that I can help control and the things that I can do to help keep them. And where I'm focused is on making sure that the capital city is on a strong, stable footing for the long term, because that's the way we're going to retain companies. That's the way we're going to give companies confidence in the future here. And coming back to where we started, that's why it's so important that we all recognize how tied together we are. You know, a company like Aetna, most of the employees don't live in Hartford. Most of the employees live in communities outside of Hartford and around Hartford. And so we all have an interest in making sure that their home city, where they've been for a century and a half, is a place where they've got confidence in the future. And that's where I'm focused, making sure that we are a good partner, making sure that the phone lines are always open, and making sure that we are demonstrating every day that we're willing to do the tough things that are necessary to get the city on a path to health and to growth.
Mayor Bronin, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, guys. Always good to be with you.
Always a pleasure.
Great to have you here. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.